When I was here last year, such a connection with this body in Ketchikan, and I knew I would be back. And in May, when I was invited to come and speak, that was even a double honor to come back here and speak on the Lord's behalf to you. I have such a connection with you. And so I was so excited to come because what a beautiful place. I wanted to go hiking. Linda took us about halfway up. It's all we had the time to go last time, about halfway up Deer Mountain. So I want to go to the summit. You know, we went around Ward Lake. I want to do Ward Lake, Settlers Cove. I want to go see all those sites again and more. So I was very excited, but I know how rainy it was. So my church body back home, we prayed before I left, say, have good weather. First 2 days was awesome. No rain, you know, it was awesome. And so I was struggling with the message. You know, I had about half of it, and I couldn't get the rest of it until I went on those hikes. I went on those journeys, and so that is a big part of what we're going to be talking about here today. So God is good all the time. So I've traveled too far to come here and tickle your ears. I've traveled by plane, boat, and automobiles to get here. Drove 2 hours to the airport to Columbus, Ohio, to fly to Chicago, to fly to Seattle, to fly to here. To catch a ferry across your narrows here. And it was all worth it. Because the Lord has something special for all of us. If you've ever done anything like this, you know, it's such a blessing because you get it so deeply ingrained in you as you're developing it. A lot of times you'll speak and things come out of your mouth that you never heard before. Where'd that come from? Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So in Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Father, I just thank you right now for your word. I thank you right now, Lord God, that we all uniquely have the mind of Christ in us already. Help us learn to develop it. Let your word come forth. May it be delivered in a way acceptable and pleasing to you. May it be received in a way that honors you, Lord Jesus. That we not just be hearers of your word, but doers as well. Amen. You'll notice I try to incorporate a lot of humor. I have a dry, very dry sense of humor. Bob Newhart was my favorite comedian. And I do get very emotional. It's hard for a guy who wants to be tough and macho, you know? And I really struggle with that. And I still struggle with it, but I got some relief when I read into Isaiah 66 about, and this is who I have favor on, you know, who trembles at my word. And I do tremble at his word. And it's not sadness. It's overwhelming. His word is so powerful. Jesus was amazed by the centurion who came to him, said, you don't need to come, Lord, just send your word. His word is sufficient. His word is enough. His word shall not return void. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. The Word became Jesus is the Word. Amen? So Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit constantly. We just need to learn how to tune in. So I did have one little prop that I brought with me, because I was thinking of a transistor radio, you know, and how, you ever have those things, you got to tune them in, you know, and you get, and as you move over here, you move a little bit, and you got to keep tuning them. So just tune us in right now, Lord. Amen. We just want to tune in to what the Spirit is leading us. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and then they did not love their lives to the death. Clearly we need the blood of the Lamb for the forgiveness of our sins. But what was so powerful about their testimony? Why was that important to overcome the enemy? Him was Satan. You know, people can argue and debate over Scripture and what it means and how to interpret it. But your testimony is what God's done in your life. You can't argue with someone's testimony. It's their testimony. It's what the Lord has done in their life. And it carries with it the idea, the connotation of do it again. I speak the words, what the Lord has done in my life, do it again in hers. Do it again in his. Do it again in his, in her life. Do it again, Lord. God is not a respecter of persons. What he'll do for one, he'll do for another. He loves us. Amen? So, you know, my Greek mindset, I have everything parsed out. I'm trying to, you know, I'm a perfectionist, and I got all the PowerPoints and all this, and so I got it all laid out, and it just got torn apart last night, or yesterday, as I'm in all the conferences. My testimony was going to be about that much, and it was going to be superficial stuff, you know, stats. No, that wasn't fit. He wants me to go deep into some things that, be honest with you, I struggle with. I'll start with the easy stuff to get me started. As most of you may know, Mary Beth is my wife. And I am joking. I'm very proud to be with her. To be known as her husband. I joke and I mean it, though. She makes me look better. I love being seen with her. She makes me look better. Don't you love being seen with beautiful people? They just make you look better. They make you feel better. And you know what? I'm looking over a room of beautiful people. In the Lord, we're all beautiful. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. And so before I get into the mind of Christ, I don't want to skip the first part, uniquely. And so as I give testimony, this is my testimony. It's unique to me, but I don't want you to think I'm trying to build myself up in some way. It's my testimony. I cannot give yours. Only you can give your testimony. So as I'm giving mine, think back over your testimony and how to develop it, how to sharpen it, because that's how you're going to overcome the enemy. And they didn't shrink back even to death. You know what? This is my testimony. I'm not going to back off from it. I have three children. My oldest is 35. She has three kids. My oldest grandson, he's 16. They live in Orlando, Florida. My son will be 30 soon in October 3rd. He lives in the Harrisburg, Pennsylvania area. Zoe, who you met last year, she just started Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia. I grew up in Parkersburg, West Virginia. It's in right along the southeastern Ohio border. It's an area called the Mid-Ohio Valley. So you think the part of West Virginia that connects with Ohio, it's the middle part of that. It's called Wood County. It's very critical. There's some critical rivers that come into that area. It's a very influential area, part of the state. There were six of us kids. There were four boys, two girls. I was the youngest of four boys. I was the whipping post for the brother closest to me in age. His life was not complete. His day was not complete unless he tormented me at least eight different ways from Sunday. And some of it's the typical stuff, but some of it would be what most people would consider abuse and over the top, too. There's emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. There's all kinds of abuse that, you know, I had to grow up with. And so I've never really shared this, at least in a concise, a complete telling. So bear with me. I'm going to struggle through this a little bit myself. Now, let's start with my name. It's amazing how God, when you start looking back over your testimony, how he's been with you from the very beginning. You know, not all Scripture is about us, but it's for us. Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, young man, he knew you. Before he formed all of us in the womb, he knew us. He's appointed us. He's set us apart for something special. My name, Kelly, means warrior. Who knew? So I start thinking back over my life about, okay, warrior. That cries a lot. Earliest memories, childhood in elementary school, I always despised bullies. I was not tall in stature, but, you know, I would go up against anybody, any bully, I would get in the face, and I would make it my fight. Do you have 4-H around here? Are you familiar with 4-H? Do you know what it is? I was in 4-H, and I was the sergeant at arms. I joined the Army when I was 21. I was married, had a child. I was on tanks. I was a tank commander in Desert Storm. They did not put tanks on the back. They put tanks on the front line. So I did see a lot of combat, a lot of action over there. Warrior. But that's just the natural, the natural side of things. And the spirit, you know, is my Christian walk. I became a Christian at 16. Prior to that, I could not say I was a very good child. I was arrested for shoplifting just a few months prior to that. In my high school, I was probably the biggest pot dealer there was. Just to keep my own habit going, I would buy it and repackage it in smaller, even rolling joints to get enough money to just keep myself in smoke. I said I was I had an addictive personality. If you could be addicted to something, I was it. You know, people, drugs, alcohol, you know, whatever it could be. My father was an alcoholic. My only fond memories of him growing up. Now, he wasn't saved until much later in his life, and you know, he did go home to be with Jesus 3 years ago because he finally did give his life to the Lord about 10 years prior to his passing. But growing up, I mean, the only fond memory I have of him is when we go on camping trips and he had passed the bottle. 10 years old, hey, and I'm getting a drink from Dad's bottle. I've always struggled with intimacy, so this is why it's a little hard for me to share this stuff with you. Intimacy with my Heavenly Father, intimacy with other people. I keep a shield up, a facade, if you will. You may be familiar with the Simon and Garfunkel song, "I Am a Rock." And I meant it. That was my song. I'm an island. No one, I touch no one, and no one touches me. And this is as a born-again Christian. I still felt that way. I had the wrong mind in me still. Go ahead and put up the second slide. I meant to start there, you know, you get the Holy Spirit on you. And the ladies do send their love. So way of introduction, you may, if you don't know, that's Dee, that's my sister-in-law. She's the artist that painted Nancy's eagle. That's Saber, our adopted sister. She's a member of our church. And of course, my lovely bride. And look at their shirts. We'll actually come back to that in a moment, their shirts they're wearing. Go ahead and to the next one. I grew up on a road called Lost Pavement. Lost Pavement. I was about as lost as you could get. I'm partying with some friends in an old farmhouse. It was my dope, so nobody laced it with anything. But all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, as we're sitting around the room, my eyes were truly open to the spirit realm. And I saw the demonic forces behind each and every one of my so-called friends. And it was my judgment day. And I had been measured, and I had been weighed, and I had been found wanting. And I knew I was going to hell if I died right then. And I begged the Lord to give me another chance. To please, Lord God, give me another chance. I will change. The belt I wore had pot leaves stamped all around it. The buckle was a bowl for smoking marijuana. Threw all that down. I had a black leather jacket. Threw it down, all the drugs, and all threw it out. Called my mom, said, "Where I'm at, and I'm heading home. Come and pick me up." Started walking. The name of that road, you got to love God. I grew up on Lost Pavement. The name of that road was Hope Hill. Oh, God. He is so good. Look back over your life. What is your testimony? What is the Lord? How has His hand been over you your whole life? Such little things seemingly, but so important in the kingdom. But anyways, I struggle with intimacy. I was a very shy boy. Again, God has such a wonderful sense of humor. I almost did not graduate high school because of my shyness. Chemistry class, we had to do a project. And in that project, you had to get up in front of your class and present. And I refused. I did the work, Well, I just wasn't going to do the presentation. There was no way, no how, I was getting up in front of that class and talking to them. So I dug my heels in. I mean, I'm a Christian at this point. It's my senior year. I need chemistry to graduate. I got an incomplete. 2 more weeks, and that was going to turn into an F, and I was going to fail and not graduate high school because of my shyness, because I was afraid to speak in public. He is so funny. God is so funny. You know, after my conversion, I was raised in the Church of Christ. Went all my life. My mother took us. We had Bible study at home. We go to these small congregations. I mean, there'd be 8 or 10 of us in a little room. I mean, so one building was like only this big right over here, you know, just the small little things. So an evangelist came through the church, and I was graduating high school at 17, and hey, they're going to travel the whole west coast of the United States. It was called the Mobile Evangelistic Force. So I hook up with them, and we travel from Hemet, California, all the way up to Bremerton, Washington, going into local churches for a week or two, you know, ministering to them. It was awesome, you know. Ended up staying in Bremerton for a while as a youth minister. Went from there, they don't call him pastors, the minister there. He went to Sunset. Can you advance a little bit here? All right, well, I skipped the fishing. My dad was a fisherman. My dad was also a carpenter. But that was me with the fish, if you can back up for just a second. That's me right there at the fish. Now, I know you got big saltwater fish, and so that's nothing, but that's a freshwater catfish that he caught there. So, you know, he's a fisherman. He was also a carpenter. So you can see how Jesus was a fisherman. Jesus was a carpenter, you know, or he dealt with fishermen. Okay, now you can go to Sunset. There you go. So that's me back there. You know, I'm all suited up. It's 1980, I believe. This was a program designed to send you out onto the mission field. I really struggled with the doctrinal issues, and so, you know, I didn't mean to get bogged down into this story too much, but other than, you know, God has just been with me all the way. What else we got there? What's the next slide? So I was a tank commander in Desert Storm. I don't know if you can read the name of that. You probably can't read the name of my tank, but it was very descriptive. I came up with it. It's called Cantankerous. And the pun was intended. And I had a very ill disposition at this point because I was supposed to have been out of the Army. They involuntarily extended me for the needs of the Army to participate in this little soiree. I'm out in my garage a few years ago, and backing up, my desire has always been to be like David, a man after God's own heart. You know, you got to be careful what you pray for, folks. Because I'm out in my garage, I start crying a little bit to God. What is going on? Why am I going through all this stuff? Why do I have all these things happen to me? And it finally occurred to me, you know, he revealed to me, well, you've been praying to be like David, a man after my own heart. What did David go through? Oh, you know. Why did God love David so much? What was so special about David that he would call him a man after his own heart? Because he would do all that God asked of him. He may go beyond that at times, but David was a passionate man. And God loves passionate people. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. We just need to govern our passions and put them toward the kingdom. We need to renew our mind and focus it on the kingdom. You put up the next. What's up next? All right, well, this is last year. Mormon of the Warrior. They got a good kick out of this one there, Connie's drum there. You zoom in on it, it's Awaken Warrior Princess. Oh, that was funny. All right, next one. Next slide, please. All right, real quick, so just to kind of define some terms before we get into the mind of Christ, but we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. When you're born again, your spirit is born again. You're a new creation. You have to renew your mind. Your mind is not automatically born again. Your soul, you have to work on that. And your body is your physical body. It's what we touch, our senses, you know. We see, we feel, we hear, we touch, we things like that. Okay. I think we can leave it there for now. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So when you read Scriptures like that, personalize them. Yes, it was about Jeremiah, but it's for us. Before I formed you in the womb, folks, God made you into be something. He ordained you to be something in the kingdom. Amen. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led For as many as are led by their situation, for as many as are led by their bank account, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. We are to live a Spirit-led lifestyle. We don't pick and choose. It's a lifestyle, folks. It's something you do, whether someone's watching or not. Amen. Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Please bring up the next slide. You know, and being Spirit-led for me, it's not always real obvious. Something amazing's happening. I'm just being obedient. Little things. I'm in the Christian bookstore, and I come across, I'm a bargain shopper too. So in the bargain rack is this book by Robin Chaddick, Discovering Your Divine Assignment. And it really links up your greatest passion with your greatest strength. So I'm thinking, this is great. So I reach out to the author and say, hey, you do seminars? What? Yeah, we do them local. So she goes, I'll come to you. Awesome. You'll come to us? So you know, I reach out to my church body, everybody there. You know, we probably invited a couple dozen people to come. Many were invited. Okay, bring up the next slide. But only four of us showed up. I mean, this is a lady who wrote this book. It was an awesome book. And in that, she taught us. And so, surprisingly, here's what my divine assignment is. I have been anointed to protect freedom at a level that the world is not familiar with, all for the glory of God. If you bring up the next slide, D's is to illuminate wisdom. Sabers is to encourage caring. And Mary Beth was to nourish catalysis. All at a level the world is not familiar with. 5 years ago, I'm going to give you a moment to make a connection here. There was at least two dozen invited. Many were called, but only a few responded. Do you know all those people? What do those people have in common? Have they been here? Have they spoke? A little thing, I'm in the bookstore. In the bargain rack. And the Holy Spirit led me to that book. It wasn't, thus saith the Lord, pick that up. Maybe he talks to you that way. He doesn't talk to me that way very often. You know? It's just those little things, but I'm sensitive to it. I tune in. Okay, God, okay, sure. And I'll be obedient to that. In 4-H, we had a saying, good, better, best. Never let it rest. To the good is better, and the better is best. As I was looking that up, I mean, I guess they kind of changed it a little bit, but it was actually from St. Jerome, father of the Latin church, that came up with that phrase. But if you put Romans 12, it reminded me of kind of Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, basically, it's kind of subtitled, Living Sacrifices to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is a good. It's good that you love Jesus. It's good that you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. It's acceptable that you assemble and you fellowship with the saints and things like that. And it's perfect that you're walking in step with His Spirit. You're being Spirit-led. You're being utilized in the kingdom. Amen? So how do we get there? We got to back. You offer your body up. Remember the little image man there? This body, you offer it up as a living sacrifice. I'm not going to follow the lust of the flesh. I'm not going to feed its carnal desires. I offer it up daily, Lord God. You do with me. If you want my body to travel thousands of miles, lose sleep every night, hike up crazy mountains and all over the place, I'll do it, Lord. It's your body. The life I live in this flesh is no longer I live according to my desires. It's now subject to His will. Or it should be. Not all sacrifice is obedience, but obedience will always require sacrifice. And that came from Saul. Saul didn't obey God fully. Kind of did, a little bit, King Saul. I'll say it again because I think it's pretty cool. Not all sacrifice is obedience. Saul was sacrificing, he just wasn't obedient. We can sacrifice and we can go feed the hungry and we can go there, we can do that and we can do this and that and we can do all kinds of good things, but is it a God thing? Did God send you? Were you obedient to what He told you to do? Not what you decided you wanted to do. It's not my will, but His be done. Not all sacrifice is obedience, but obedience will always require sacrifice. And the minimum of sacrifice is going to be your will. You're going to sacrifice your will, your body, for His will. Thank you, Jesus. True identity. My wife made a prophetic statement. You know, she likes to sing, and I don't at all. I mean, I love to sing, and I love to make melody and make a joyful noise, and that's all it is. It is a noise. In the last 2 weeks in church, I started singing. She goes, I know you're going to sing and catch a can. And it's not going to be Christian songs either. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I just can't wait to look in the mirror. Cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I'll make it a G version. I must be a heck of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble. But I'm doing the best that I can. And it's meant as a joke, obviously. Pride is one of the very biggest obstacles to us understanding who we are, who our true identity is. That we do get very prideful. God's utilizing you and you get a little puffed up, you know. Well, frankly, He could utilize a speechless donkey. Some people might call it, when you can't speak, they call them dumb. And you got it figured out. You know, if He can use one of those animals, He could use anyone. So we shouldn't get too puffed up when we're being utilized in the kingdom. We're just being obedient. We're getting in step. We're getting in step with what the Spirit of God, the living God, is doing. Amen? True identity, you are blessed and not cursed. Sadly, many folks go through life with a mistaken identity. They have an identity crisis. They get their identity from their performance-based religion. If I'd only done this or I had not done that, God would be pleased with me. That has nothing to do with it. Our identity is in Christ and Him alone. 1 John 3:20 says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than the heart and knows all things. Pride says, I know better than God. So I'm going to deal with one that I really hate and it's sneaky and that we've all probably fallen prey to. It is false humility. We're going to take aim at that right now. False humility. One thing that keeps us from having an incorrect mind. The proud says, I know better than God. True humility says, God knows better than I. True humility is submitting to God and agreeing with what His Word says about us. Allowing His truth to transform us from glory to glory. We need to renew our minds. We need to align our thoughts and our attitudes with God's Word. And here's just a few things He says about us, just to get us started. Greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We are more than conquerors. We are blessed and not cursed. True humility is submitting to God and agreeing with what His Word says about us, acknowledging that what God says about us is true. Our true identity is found in Christ. Oh, I'm just not worthy. Oh, I'm just... Why would we allow a spirit of Balaam to come upon us and try to curse what God has blessed? The Lord has blessed you. Why? What gives you the right to curse what God has blessed? Oh, but I don't feel... A dear brother set me free about 20 years ago. I was struggling with that kind of thing. Well, you know... Kelly, he is worthy. It's not about you, it's about him. He's worthy. And we'll get into it in a little bit, but you know, the dilemma in Romans 7 and 8, where you know, Paul's struggling with what he's doing. The good I want to do, that I don't do. And the evil I don't want to do, that I do. It's the flesh. Because we don't live according to that. We're dead to that man. We live according to the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit now. We're made alive in the Spirit. So you have to, if they're sinning, it's from the old fleshy man. Allowing him to rise up. But we walk according to the Spirit. Oh, I love this. Well, in Luke 1:38, it's right at the end of the story when the angel came to Mary and told her what was going to happen. Pretty overwhelming. He said to her that all things are possible with God. When he told her who was going to come through her, that she was going to give birth to the Savior of the world. Do you think she said, I'm not worthy? Lord, you know, I am not worthy. It's not what she said. She said, let it be unto me according to your word. Can we say that? Let it be unto me according to your word. So as we meditate on, as we chew on that, as we start thinking about ourselves incorrectly, let it be unto me, Lord, according to your word. What does your word say about me? That's what's true. I'm going to align my life, my thought life, my emotions, my will, my thinking with you, Lord God. You know, it's possible to dwell in the same house without being intimate. I've counseled many. I've been in those relationships myself where you're there, but you're not being intimate with your housemate. You know, we are the Holy Spirit's dwelling place. He said he was going to build his temple, you know, it was going to be in us. He would be our God and we'd be his people and he's going to live inside of us. You know that God has taken up residence inside everybody who's a new creation. You're the home of his Spirit. His Spirit lives in you. Amen? I already told you, I struggle with intimacy and I'm trying to remember the movie, but it had a little pun on it. Into me I see. Intimacy, into me I see. Lord, let me see myself the way you see me. Breaking down those barriers that keep me from being intimate with you and my fellow man. Please understand me. We don't practice safe church. You know, Jesus often used the natural to describe the spiritual. We need to be intimate with our Lord. Just as a husband and a wife need to be intimate to have offspring, for there to be a pregnancy and a birth. Spiritually speaking, the church, the bride of Christ, needs to be intimate with the groom in order for to be summoned. And you've heard, I think Patty was talking about being pregnant with the purposes of God. That's what it is. Spiritually, allowing something to be birthed inside of you, to be intimate with the God. 2 Corinthians 3:17, 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, out of the Amplified. If then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing His resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich, eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things of this earth. So set your mind and keep them set. You know what a set point is? I mean, it's something that's set. It's the cornerstone. It's the plumb bob that comes down, and that's the set point. That's where we're going to build from that mark there. And we have to keep it set on things above, heavenly things, on His plan. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2, out of the Amplified. So,
Since Christ suffered in the flesh for us, for you, arm yourselves with the same thought and purpose, patiently to suffer rather than to fail to please God. For whoever has suffered in the flesh, having the mind of Christ, is done with intentional sin and has stopped pleasing himself and the world and pleases God, so that he can no longer spend the rest of his natural life living by his human appetites and desires, but he lives for what God wills. And when I do studies like this or teachings, I like to use the Amplified because words can have different meanings, and so it kind of just gives you all the possible variations of the word, and it's good to hear it out of a different translation than what you're probably accustomed to studying and reading. And we've already said this one several times. 2 Timothy 1:7, you've heard that throughout the conference. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We're dealing with the mind of Christ, that we're having uniquely the mind of Christ. So we each one of us have a testimony. We're uniquely representing the mind of Christ. Can you pull up the next slide, please? One of the big enemies that keeps us from moving is we get paralyzed with fear. Fear is nothing more than false evidence appearing real. Satan is a liar. Did God really promise you that, brother? Did he really promise you that? Says, did God really say? He tries to get you to doubt. He tries to get you into fear by presenting false evidence. Oh, here's the report of the doctor. False evidence, folks. What does the word of the Lord say about you and your situation and you and your family? What does His word say about you? His word is true. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. The thief, he's an intruder. He has no rights. He has no authority. He's a thief. That's his name. He's a thief. He's trying to steal. How many of you, especially if you had small children at home and you heard somebody breaking into your home at night, would you not do everything you could to expel that thief, to expel that intruder? By all means necessary, I know you would. Why do we in the spirit then allow it to go on? Satan, you're an intruder. My family is off limits. You cannot have me or my family, me or my health, me or my mind. You cannot have it. The battleground, folks, is right here between our ears. Our spirit man's born again. The flesh is flesh. This body is going to die and perish one day. When you're born again, your spirit's made new. We're renewing our mind. But you know what? That body, if it was losing hair, it's still losing hair. It's losing hair in certain places and growing hair in other places that you never had before. It's doing weird things. The body's perishing. Why are we worried? Here's the battleground right here between our ears. What we're thinking. Putting on the mind of Christ. All right, let's get to my catch-as-can journey real quick. And this is the order that I actually did these things. I mean, I just couldn't wait. I wanted to get to the summit. I have a little health thing, an app on my phone. That day I walked 10 and a half miles. As you know, if you go ahead. There's a place I went. We're going to talk about this all briefly. So you pull up the next slide, please. Deer Mountain. So what's a mountain? You know, it represents a lot of things. It could represent a challenge, a journey. For me, it was an exciting journey. I mean, the Holy Spirit spoke with me the whole way. I mean, I just was getting so much. As I was preparing, it was like trying to drink from a water hose, a garden hose. You know, you got it turned on, and you can't even take all the water in. Well, I'm on these hikes for these 2 days, and it's like somebody turned on a fire hose. I mean, can you imagine trying to drink out of a fire hose that, you know, firemen use to fight fires with? That's what it was like. The Spirit would just flood me with so much information. You can get a different perspective as you climb the mountain. Next slide, please. So as I was thinking about the mountain, what it represents, He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. Sets me on my high places. He's given us high places. He's given us places to go to get a different perspective. Next slide, please. So here's this is the trailhead. It's got the information board. And as you see this, it's all the warnings and all this stuff. It reminds me of a sign I saw that's in British Columbia. It warns about bears and, you know, what things you should do. So if you're hiking or you're working outdoors, you should wear little bells, You know, you don't want to surprise the bear. You should carry pepper spray in case there's an encounter. It says, you know, you shouldn't have, you know, everybody knows what bear scat is, right? How to identify it, you know, so black bear would have like berries and maybe fur of a small animal in its scat. Grizzly bear scat would have bells in it and would smell like pepper.
That's what the sign said.
All right, so let's go on up. So we're on a journey here today. So it's about 3,000 feet change of elevation over 3 miles. First quarter mile, it's 700. Oh, you know, you start with so much zeal, Lord, we're going on a journey. Wow. I mean, I'm wheezing, I'm huffing and puffing at a quarter mile. It's like, man, I'm out of shape. You know, we're just a quarter mile. What's that? 1/12 of the way. Really, and some more tough trekking. 3/4 of a mile, they're really rubbing it in you now. You know, putting it in your face, you know. You're almost halfway in elevation and you're only 3/4 of a mile. We're not even 1/3 of the way there yet. Switchback. So, you know, it'd be nice to just be able to take the elevator straight to the top. But, you know, so we're on a spiritual journey. Let's make this a spiritual application here. Because the Lord wanted me, like I said, this was not planned at all, clearly. So, you know, we're on switchbacks. So, you know, you're going this way, Lord, we're walking, and all of a sudden, okay, well, now I want you to go this way, you know. But I like going that way, you know. But that's how you're going, that's the path, the journey, is all these switchbacks. Next one, please. Sometimes you have the options, you know. You can go to the left or you can go to the right. You know, they're all going to get you to the same place, but some of us go to the left, some of us go to the right. Next. Oh, I love these shortcuts, you know. You see where other people figured out, you know, let's just go this way. You know, we're cut out walking, you know, 200 yards that way and then back. The only thing about a shortcut, a quick promotion in the spirit, a quick promotion in the kingdom, is this a shortcut. You get there quicker, but it burns your legs. I mean, you're expending a lot of energy to get there. So, you know, I'm trying to make a spiritual application to all these things. The summit, oh, the glorious summit, you know, the goal, the prize. This is where I wanted to be, is up there, you know. So it was a glorious day. I mean, look at that. This is Ketchikan, you know. But it's glorious to be at the summit. So next one up is I'm doing what everybody would do, and I intentionally tried to catch my shadow, praising the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? And yeah, I'd probably like to see the city, but again, spiritual application. I'm so far above it all. I'm above the fray, you know. I'm getting a different spiritual perspective on God's kingdom in my situation. I see no humanity, not those spoiled, you know, man-made buildings, just His creation, just the other mountaintops talking to one another, saying, giving glory to the Lord. All right, so this is fun, the next one. Now, I actually took this at Ward Lake, but this little guy comes into play. So, you know, after your greatest spiritual victories, oftentimes comes your biggest challenge. You're celebrating. I made the summit. You know, you're up there. You're rocky. You know, and then Apollo Creed comes and knocks you out. So I'm coming down the mountain. And, you know, human body's designed to go up real well, steep grades, but not so much going down. And so I slip and catch myself, so my hand's all muddy, and I'm a little mad. So there's a plant there that looks a lot like plants we have back home, so I'm going to slap my hand on it to clean it off. What in the world? These little stinging things? I got to looking, man, little nettles, little things all over it, you know. So Ward Lake, I saw that and found out what it was. Interesting name, Devil's Club. Devil's coming out. You know, just had a great victory, great celebration. The Lord, here comes, He's coming with His club. You know. So it makes me think of Elijah. What a great victory, you know. He's the rubbing in the old Baals, the priest, the prophets of Baal, and King Ahab. And the sacrifice, I mean, just amazing. Oh, just pour all this kind of water on, you know. And he's teasing him, and he prays to God, and he comes down and just burns it all up, licks up all the offering, all the water. And next chapter, you know, Jezebel, here's Jezebel's after him. He runs like a scared little chicken, run and hide, you know. So spiritually, what my caution, my warning is, you know, as you're having these spiritual achievements, these advancements, you get to the summit, you have a great victory in the Lord, don't take your eye off the enemy. Think of Gideon. Start out with 32,000 dudes, you know. God said, you know, anybody afraid? Anybody a little fearful? Let him go. So 20,000 of those guys booked right then. You know, so they're left with 12,000 because that's still too many, because if you defeat them, you're going to think the victory was yours. So you all go down and drink. When you drink, I'm going to show you something. So, you know, we're all parched. You ever been hot and thirsty? I mean, you want to drink. So they all, you know, they go down to the water. And all but 300 of them just get down on their knees and just bury their face in water and start drinking. But 300 of them got down and scooped the water up and drank from a cupped hand. Why would they do that? Because they could keep a watch out for the enemy. So we should never take our eye off the enemy. We're not ignorant of his devices. We know what he's up to. Amen? All right, so let's go to Ward Lake. Nope, Sutter's closed, sorry. It was closed. Not closed, but where I wanted to go was. This is from last year, so that's the only picture I had. I didn't get to take a picture of that, so you want to see my wife again anyway. So there she is. I miss you, baby. Settlers Cove, though. When the pilgrims were heading west, it's been said that there was a sign in the Midwest that said, choose your ruts wisely, because you're going to be in them for a while. I mean, you can get down into some deep ruts, you know. So it was a long journey, and they're heading west. They're going to go settle in the west. And it's been said that when they got to the Rockies, like in the Denver area, if you've ever been there, I used to live there in the Denver area. And you get to, it's like plains, and all of a sudden the Rockies just shoot straight up. And so they looked up at the Rockies and looked back down at the beautiful plains. They looked back up at the Rockies, and they said, this'll do. They settled. So that's what I want to take from that. You know, you can go to the mountain of the Lord. You can go into His holy presence, or you can settle. I always think of two brothers when I think of mountains. Moses and Aaron. How are we doing on time? Am I good? You know, Moses was invited to go up. He actually invited Aaron to go up too, later on in Exodus. We all read the story where Moses went up. He got into the presence of God and his image changed. The glory of the Lord shone upon him to the point they had to veil him. The people couldn't stand to look at him. But what happened to Aaron? Aaron stayed at the foot of the mountain, the periphery. I guarantee you someone's image is going to change in this whole process. If we get into the presence of the Lord, meaning we understand and acknowledge that He's everywhere, but we give intentional, purposeful attention to Him and say, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. I'm going to put on your mind. I'm going to think on things the way you think on them. I'm going to think upon me and my situation the way you think upon them. My image, your image will change. The glory of the Lord will shine upon you. Or you can just hang out. You know, you can go punch your spiritual time clock. You can stay close. Hey, I'm a Christian. Hey, I go to church. I hang out. And what the other speaker, what Evelyn and others, they all talked about it. But you know what? I'm not really going to go 100%. I'm not going to be all in. I'm going to put a few of my chips in. I'm not going to push them all in. I'm going to hold back a little bit. I'm going to stay at the foot, the periphery, you know. So what happened? Aaron's image of God changed. He made the golden calf. He said, this is the God who brought us out of Egypt. Somebody's image is going to change here today, folks. And my hope, and I hope it's yours as well, that your image will change as you press into Him, as He transforms you and us from glory to glory. Because the danger is when you stand on the fringe, your image of God will change. We will create God in our image. This is the God. Somebody's image is going to change. I hope. My prayer is that it's our image. All right, let's move on.
So I'm at Ward Lake. My great-grandfather was a ward, so, you know, this speaks to me of spiritual heritage. You know, and it's a very easy, that's an easy walk. Walk in your heritage. Man, that's great. I'm enjoying my forefathers' heritage, all the hard work they put in. I'm cruising. I'm getting the good benefit of my spiritual heritage there. But I needed to take that because it was kind of interesting. You know, shots fired. Somebody did decide to take a shot at that. All right, next one. Uprooted. So we're at Ward Lake. He is uprooting our old carnal nature, our old mindsets. They've been uprooted. I don't know if you can see that very well. If you've been out there, you know, but it's the big root ball and it's all turned up. But look what's happening there. New life, spiritual life is springing up from the bottom of that root ball, which is now the top. It is springing forth. So the old nature, the old carnal man, the old flesh is dead. It's turned over. And new life, spiritual life is shooting up from that. It's a paradigm shift. Here it is. Does everybody know what a paradigm is? It's like a pattern, a model, you know, an accepted way of doing things. In West Virginia, this is a paradigm. I'm holding up two dimes for those listening online. In West Virginia, we call this a paradigm. Anyway, told you, pretty bad jokes, but. All right, let's go to the next one. So this is still Ward Lake. So they're following their nature. They're driven by their carnal nature. Something inside of them is instinctual. This is driving them to a dead end, though. It ends in death. And what profound about this, to me, another thing, and here again, apply this spiritually, the first thing to go was their eyes. The predators would come and take their eyes away. Lose our sight, we lose our vision. All right, next one. So I thought I was just going to go to Ward Lake, and I said, oh, there's Frog Pond. I saw the sign there, so I'm going to go up to Frog Pond. Frogs, what? Frogs, it speaks of a metamorphosis to me. They don't start out as a frog, do they? They start out as something else. We start out as tadpoles. We start out as a carnal man, a fleshy man, person, and we end up a spiritual being. We are a new creation, amen? Take on a new paradigm. 2 Corinthians 3, 17, 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. And we already talked about Moses and Aaron. I knew I'd get ahead of myself. James 4, 7 and 8 says, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So the first thing we do when we're talking about, you know, getting on the mind of Christ, renewing our mind, changing our mind, is we got to do some resisting. We have to resist the devil and his temptations. You know those guys that get the big old muscles? You know how they got those? They did what they call resistance training. They would lift weights that offered resistance. You know, you want to build your spiritual muscles, you want to build up your mind, the mind of Christ, then you resist the enemy and his desires and the things he's laid, the bait. What are some of the baits that he tries to bait you with? A fence. He wants to get us in on a fence real quick, you know, that's a bait. We're going to get back into the carnal mind real quick if we take the bait. It could be lust, it could be greed, envy, any of those types of things. Those are all bait to get us to go back to our old carnal, fleshy mind and walk away from the mind of Christ. All right, slide 31. Well, you don't know. Next one, please. Oh, man, this was a little bit of a challenge. It wasn't quite Deer Mountain, but it was a good hike. Lake Perseverance signaled the completion. I have arrived. I have persevered the journey that the Lord put me on in Ketchikan. And just a little bit later, the sun actually started breaking through from that. And it was so gorgeous. It was so serene. It was just so beautiful up there. And Mary Beth and I love to go hiking. And anytime there's a little ravine with a tree falling across it, she knows what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk across it. And you can barely see it. There were logs. There was like a log bridge across this thing. So I'm out there
I mean, the Lord has rewarded me with the logs everywhere. I'm climbing all over these logs. He is so good. He's so faithful.
James 1, 2 through 5 in the NIV. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
He's developing us. He's maturing us. We need to be patient. We need to persevere. We need to be steadfast. We can't give up at the first sign of resistance. Amen? Then we draw near to God. I always think of Moses now, again, drawing near. Moses was on his own agenda. He's tending sheep, and he saw this burning bush over here. Something was going on that caught his attention. I'm going to turn aside from my agenda, Lord, to see what you're doing. So he turned aside to see. The bush that was burning was not consumed. And I had a prophetic word for my congregation about 2 or 3 weeks ago on that. And take it if you want it. I think it's a good word. That we were the bush that burned would not be consumed. We're burning with the holy fire of God. It's burning away all those things that are not of Him. All those old mindsets, all those ways of thinking are just being burned away. That's the fuel that's actually burning, that's just being burned away, but yet we're still remaining. So let His holy fire burn within you. Let it consume those things that are not of Him. Burn away all that chaff, but you will not be consumed. Amen?
Hallelujah. Attitude adjustment. We need to make this acknowledgement. I alone am responsible for my attitude, the way in which I view my circumstances, the way in which I respond to my environment. I'm in charge of it. Proverbs 23:7. As he, a man, thinks, so is he.
If you think you can, you're right. If you think you can't, you're right. You've talked yourself out of it. With God, all things are possible. Let it be unto me according to your word.
Next one up, please.
Information, revelation, transformation. This is the way I've taught it for years. Nancy would basically say, impartation, activation. So we receive an information. Hopefully you get some revelation on it. You go, aha, I understand. It's been illuminated to me. And then it transforms you from glory to glory. You're activated to do something. Not to just sit there like a bump on the log, amen? If it was all about the destination, I believe that God, as soon as we gave our life to Him, our heart to Him, He would snatch us up to be with Him if it's just about the destination. It's about the journey, folks. There's something for us to do here. What is it? Well, I don't know. I don't know what it is for you. I'm still trying to figure it out for me. But it's a journey. I'm being led by the Spirit, though, in everything that I do. At least that was my goal. Next one up. E plus R equals O. So we've had an amazing event here this weekend. It's been an awesome event. I guarantee you all of us are going to have different outcomes. And the variable being the how we respond to it. How are you going to respond to the Word of the Lord? Are you going to be humble and say, you know what, I don't believe it right now, but I believe your word, Lord, so I'm going to let my thought life line up with what your word says about me and the situation of what you want me to do, and you will have a different outcome. We have two different models up there, two different paradigms, if you will. You've got a stimulus and a response. Something happens, you react. The proactive model says there's a stimulus, and you have the freedom to choose. You can choose how you respond. You can choose to respond with the mind of Christ. You want a different outcome? Have a different response.
We need to take in information from positive sources, encouraging sources. And we should be positive in encouraging sources of information. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy,
meditate
on these things. Think on these things. That has the connotation of meditating and muttering it. Just because the Eastern religion has tried to co-opt meditation doesn't mean that it's a bad thing. God had it. The enemy has a counterfeit of it. You meditate on it. You think about it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is He who is in me than he is in the world. Nothing is impossible for you. Let it be unto me according to your word. Meditate on it. Mutter it if you must. Let that word get inside of you. Let it get activated. Amen. His word shall not return void, according to Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Shall means it shall. There's no ands, ifs, or buts. It's going to happen. And you know what? As Spirit-filled believers, as we speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we're speaking God's words. The Bible you hold was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by men. But we acknowledge that as God's Word. Can His Word not go through us and so it'll have the same promise, the same effect? All right, we're only about halfway through. I got 3.5 hours, right, brother? Let's skip around a little bit here. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. You know, as I think and point to hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Pointing to people. It's about people. It's always about people with God. It's not about things. It's about people. It's about pointing to hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's given us a future and a hope. Believe that word. Remember Hans and Franz? From Saturday Night Live, I know none of you watched that. But they did it. They're making fun of Arnold Schwarzenegger. They had these fake muscles. And, hey, I'm Hans and Franz. We're here to pump you up. And he had like these big muscles. And hear me now and believe me later. So if you can't believe me now, meditate on it. Hear me now and believe me later. Later can be in a second, a minute, a day, a week. But meditate on the words. His word is true. It will not return void. Do the next slide, please. My lovely bride again. Told you I was a tank commander in Desert Storm. What she holds in her right hand is from an AK-47. I relieved the gentleman of that. He did no longer need it. But that's a casing for what he was shooting at me with. And that's a casing from the round I was shooting back at him with. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. This is how the enemy comes at us, with a little small arms. Oh, okay. Let me unload the 105 millimeter on you. And later, I got a 120 millimeter shell, but I didn't have a casing for that. Just a good representation of what the enemy's coming at us with and what our weapons are. They're so superior. I mean, we're more than conquerors. It's not even a challenge, folks. It's no contest. We're more than conquerors. And that is such a progressive, I get revelation of that all the time. It's like no contest. I used to wrestle. So, you know, it'd be like a little peewee wrestler, you know, coming out and wrestling one of these big professional guys. I mean, it's no contest. But it's even more than that to me now. I've got revelation. More than a conqueror, you don't just conquer, you now go occupy the land. He's given us the land, so we're more than conquerors. We now go and we occupy. We've now become the occupying force for the kingdom of God. We're advancing His kingdom. Amen? His kingdom is advancing through us. I mean, that's His plan. It's not my plan. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You all know that. Next slide, please. So we're going to start first closing. Really, how long do I have? You guys getting tired? You sure? I can start wrapping up. Let's go through some prayer, though. So Jesus, and He's teaching His disciples how to pray. So He said to them, when you pray, say. So first lesson, when you're praying, ought to be something coming out of your mouth. And hopefully it's a God-inspired word or just pray His word. That's pretty safe. Just pray Ephesians. That's pretty powerful, huh, brother? It's hard to go wrong if you pray His word. Next one.
Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So you say something and you believe that you're going to have it. Next one. Call things. Romans 4:17. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. You're not denying what the report, the doctor said that you have cancer. You're just calling things that do not exist as though they did. You're speaking life into that and say, I don't care what he said. I'm speaking life into you. I'm calling for things that do not exist. A woman, she's been told she's barren. Well, that's okay. We're not playing ostrich. We're just calling something. We're speaking the life of God into you. And that's where that scripture came from with Sarah. Call forth life out of a lifeless situation. You may have barren situations in your life. Speak His Word. Speak prophetically into it. Speak forth life. Choose life. Choose you this day. You know, we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Joshua 1:1-3. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Here's the key. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Everything you still need, spiritually you still need it, is just in a place you've never been. You just haven't got there yet. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Him. So He's promised it to you, your foot just hasn't got there yet. You're on a spiritual journey. You're making the track. It's there, you'll get there, just keep going. Amen? Don't give up, don't stop. Oh, it's another switchback. Well, okay, you're going this way now, Lord. It's all right.
John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So much word. I really could go 3.5 hours, but I'm going to start wrapping up. This will be my second closing. I don't know. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And that's Galatians 5:16 or 5:25. NIV says it this way. Let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Left, 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 right, left, 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 right, left. We're in step with the Spirit. Where are you going, Lord? I'm just following you, following your lead. Amen? He may tell us to mark time. He may tell us to double time. He may give us parade rest. He may say at ease. You have some free time. Go do what you want for a while. We're just being led. We're in step with the Spirit of God. We're being led by the Spirit. This, if you take anything away from this, be led by the Spirit of God. Put on His mind. Think about yourself the way He thinks about you. So what your circumstance, your situation is not lining up with His Word. Who's wrong? What's the truth? Fear, false evidence appearing real. What is real? God's Word's real. Amen? All right, next slide. My father, I told you, passed away 3 years ago. He'd written this letter maybe 10 years before his death to be open and read by his children. And at the very end of it, this is what he wrote. He said, one kind word said it to the living is worth more than a million tears over the grave. Next slide, please. Carpe diem, usually translated seize the day, really means pluck the day. Make the most of each and every opportunity. Redeem the time. Speak life to those people while you still can. You don't know. You know, I'd love to be back here next year. I don't know. I want to make the most of this moment. Make the most of each moment. Put on the mind of Christ. See Christ in your fellow man.
Christ in you, my brother, my sister, the hope of glory. Holy Spirit, do you have anything else? Do you have any questions? I only got about a third of the way through it. That's all right. I pray you were blessed. I pray it gives you something to chew on, maybe. Maybe challenge you to think a little bit. You know, he is more concerned about our condition than our comfort. He's pulling us out of our comfort zones. He's wanting us to abandon our seats as spectators. Christianity is not a spectator sport. You may play offense. You may play defense. You may be on special teams. You may be on the training squad. You may be a coach. You may be the equipment person. But you have a role position. You are not to sit the bench. There are no passengers and there are no prisoners. There are only active participants. Find your place. Maybe you're on injured reserve. Whatever it be, but you have a role, you have a function. The Lord wants you to put on His mind. Walk according to His word. See yourself the way He sees you. Speak life. Choose life. Seize the day. Don't let the moments pass. Redeem the time. Make the most of each and every opportunity. Be led by His Spirit. Well, you're blessed. You're blessed and not cursed. Amen.